We're here with Rob Englehart and James H. Duncan, the co-hosts of the Troy Poetry Mission, an open mic held on the last Wednesday of each month at O'Brien's Public House. Sign up is at 7:30 and the reading starts at 8. Each month has a new featured reader. The Troy Poetry Mission celebrates its one-year anniversary on September 27th. Rob Englehart is a writer and poet whose work has, over the last 20 years, appeared in many journals and magazines, both in print and on the internet. He is the author of 14 books of poetry, including The Resurrection Waltz, The Bones of Our Existence, and The Poem Remains, and is the founder of the group Albany Poets and the creator and co-host of the Troy Poetry Mission. James H. Duncan is the editor of Hobo Camp Review, a former editor with Writer's Digest, and the co-host of the Troy Poetry Mission. His poetry, fiction, and essays have appeared in dozens of print and online journals around the world, and his new book of poetry, We Are All Terminal, But This Exit Is Mine, is due from Unknown Press this Halloween.
For more information about his books and upcoming readings, visit www.jameshduncan.com. So, thank you for coming and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Could you explain what is the Troy Poetry Mission's mission?
Well, in effect, the Troy Poetry's mission is basically to bring people out to read their poetry. Simple as that. It's something that I started about, well, a year ago. And I just basically wanted to have people come out and read their poetry and feel free in any style or form to go to an open mic. And that was basically the mission.
Why was the Troy, or why Troy in particular? Is this because it was your place of residence? Did you feel like there was a particular artistic je ne sais quoi that Troy had to deliver?
Well, my wife and I moved to Troy a little over a year ago, back last year in July. And I lived in Albany for years and did poetry readings, founded groups, different things in poetry. And so we were in Troy, and Troy's experienced this kind of renaissance of art and poetry itself. There's a couple other poetry readings. And so I thought to myself, well, I haven't done a poetry reading in quite a while in terms of setting one up. Why not set a poetry reading up for people to come out and just go to a bar and have a drink and read their work?
So do you aspire to have a certain sort of environment with the Poetry Mission? I mean, do you just have a certain sort of vision for all the different types of people that can come, for just how it feels to be there?
Well, I think that the entire, how can I say this, the look and the feel of O'Brien's being a pub is very laid back. And I think that's what really poetry should be, laid back. People should be able to feel comfortable in a venue and come out and read their work. O'Brien's is an amazing place, an Irish pub that's on 3rd Street. It's 43 3rd Street, and the owners have been great, and they support what we do. And so when we have people there to read poetry, they definitely just get comfortable, have a drink, very laid back, as I said.
I think the idea of it being laid back for me was what really drew me to the reading. I came to the reading a few times before Rob asked me to be a co-host, and I'd moved to the area about a year and a half ago, and I really wanted to explore all the different readings that Albany and Troy had. And I'd gone to a few where they had a great big stage and lights, and they had, you know, the poets got up there and everything was memorized, and there was a performance to it. And it was great. They're very talented, but it was a little intimidating, too, even as someone who'd read a lot in New York City. So when I saw Rob's reading, and it was at this really great low-key pub in downtown Troy, it felt very inviting because there was just no pressure. People who had been reading for decades, people who it was their first poem ever that they ever read live, it was very low-key, very chill, very relaxed, and that's definitely like a great theme, I think, to our reading series is, it's there's no pressure at all. You know, if you've never written a poem before and this is your first piece, this is the place to do it.
Following from that, how has the turnout been to these events?
Well, it's been a little bit mixed. It depends sometimes on the time of the year. It can be cold or basically, especially in summertime, a lot of people for some reason don't come out to read poetry in the summertime. They're probably frolicking in the park, whatever they're doing, but they don't come out to readings. So in regards to that, we've had some really big crowds for poets that have come in. Megan recently read and brought a really nice crowd in. So pretty much we get a mix, but we've only been around for a year. So we're going to do more advertising. We're going to have more planned events come, and we'll just see.
You know, I think what I really appreciate about the mission is just the whole idea of building a culture of poetry that will be accessible and will be welcoming. Like you're saying, you're kind of talking about the low-key atmosphere to all kinds of people. And we had Stanley Hadsel on the show the other night from Market Block Books, and he brought a couple poetry books with him that you can get at Market Block Books in downtown Troy. And he was talking about how in other countries, poets become the leaders sometimes in politics. You know, you also have a history like Pablo Neruda becoming super involved in different kind of revolutionary movements. So can you talk about just your own thoughts on the importance of building a culture of poetry?
Well, in regards to a culture, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen a lot of different poetry styles come and go. What I think is the important thing, as someone once said, that poetry is for everyone. Poetry is for everybody. And to get people out to enjoy poetry or to discover poetry, in regards to a culture, times change, poems change, but people don't change. They'll always write. They will always be at readings, they'll always be putting out books, whether they're digital or paper. And so I think that's the main cause, to have people come out, and that's the revolution.
The great thing about Troy, the whole Capital District in particular, and our reading, is that we're not building from the ground up. You know, we've only been around for a year, but we're one of a lot of great readings in the area. Troy specifically, you've got the Monday Night Poetry Vibe at Troy Kitchen, which has a great culture to it. They've really built a really wonderful kind of a platform for a lot of both poets in the area in Troy and coming from out of town. And whenever I talk to people about Troy poetry, everyone's like, oh, Monday night, oh, yeah, that thing. Like, yeah. You know, we do the last Wednesday of the month every month, and we're kind of it's kind of like every little piece, every little reading series kind of adds more and more to the poetic culture of Troy. There's a lot happening here, and we're really excited to be a part of it.
I have to say, I was astounded at the quality of the poetry I heard just at the open mic session of the last Troy Poetry Mission. And the woman that I spoke to briefly before I left, she read a poem about Saint Joan. And she has been a lifelong resident of Troy, and it was beautiful, and certainly just got that sense of there being a certain addition to the culture, the life experience of living in Troy for having attended that moment.
And this is somewhat eye-opening to me, because I can't say I've really thought of there being a culture of poetry before. I've thought of a culture of theater. I've interacted in a lot of theater. I've seen cultures surrounding different musical, even individual genres, not even just music as a whole. So to talk about a poetry culture is very fascinating to me. Now, what would you say in response to those that will say, maybe they're not fans of poetry? Do you think that's valid to say I'm just not a fan of poetry?
Very valid, yes, especially considering some of the poetry that I've seen students read in middle school and high school. It can be a little dry. It definitely turned me off when I was in school, too. I didn't start writing poetry till my mid-20s. I don't know, Rob, if you the same?
I wrote poetry when I was a teenager, but I hid it mostly. So, the poetry came out later when I went to the QE2 and there was a great reading there. That was that.
So I think a lot of people initially right out of the gate just don't connect to it, so they don't want to go to a poetry reading. And I think in order to change that and kind of open up, you know, the idea of poetry to people, it isn't necessarily on those people. It's on poets to bring people who aren't poets, who don't read poetry, two readings. And I think that rather than giving them a book and saying, read this, and, you know, they read one or two and they don't really connect to it, get them to a reading, have them, you know, see how exciting it is. People get into it, see the emotion behind the poetry. It can be fun. It can be angry. I think when people see that, they can understand why others are into it. And bit by bit, they can kind of connect to it too. And at your Story Harvest event a couple weeks ago, some people...
Yeah, at the Sanctuary for Independent Media's Community Freedom Square, North Central Troy Story Harvest, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great event, and we had some typewriters out there and some people who had older people and younger kids who had never written poetry before sat down and asked, you know, I don't know, what do I write? And just anything. And after one or two attempts, they walked away with something they were really happy with.
Yeah, my students and I used to debate the difference between song lyrics and poetry, and we basically came up with the definition of that difference as being that a poem is meant to be spoken against silence, whereas a song lyric is meant to be with musical accompaniment, and that was our best discernment of those ideas. But have you ever experimented with song lyrics, or do you have people who actually play music with their poems?
Well, I've had both. We had Jason Martin actually as our first poet for the Troy Poetry Mission. He was our first featured poet, and I've known Jason for years, and what he's done musically as well as poetically, he was coming out for years reading at poetry readings long before he was actually doing some of the music. So his work was very, very like lyrical in so many ways. And what I notice about a lot of people who are musicians, they'll come out also and they can read their lyrics. Sometimes you can't tell that they're actually lyrics. They're very poetic in terms of their style. So it's a mix. You get a lot of people who read like what you would consider slam poetry or rap type poetry, different styles and different forms. So to me, being around so many years and doing this work and kind of listening to people is just generally been, it's all poetry.
That's that.
Now, not to put you both too much on the spot, but we have a little bit of time left tonight, and we were wondering if we might be able to trouble you for some kind of performance. I know that might be a little bit novel, maybe not used to speaking live, but...
Or maybe if the word performance is too much right now, just could you please read one of your poems?
Do you have anything, Rob? I mean, I actually didn't bring a poem with me.
Well, as you ponder that question... another idea that to throw out there is that poetry has the potential of reframing the way we see reality. And in your own poetic work, in your own writing, do you feel like that's part of the freedom of creative expression through poetry? For example, Bryce and I are sitting behind a desk. In the realm of poetic language, you could call that desk
a prison.
A cheetah.
Maybe not this one.
I don't know where I got cheetah from. Prison makes more sense. Many people are trapped behind desks, but you have metaphors, similes, poetic language have, you know, all of those elements of figurative speech have the opportunity to open up reality. So and have us look at reality in a new way. So
yeah, there's
is
definitely
that part
a great
of your
element of that. Yeah,
creativity.
You know, you can, you know, even if you don't know a lot about poetry, being able to sit down and, you know, write something about an experience that you had, the way you phrase it, the way you play with language, even if you don't have a great extensive vocabulary, you can restructure your own memories and your own experiences into something a little new and a little creative. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of elements to that.
You had a beautiful poem for your father's birthday, and you talked about cinema, a film reel in the cosmos.
I wish I still had that one to read, yeah.
But it looks like, Rob, you have a poem?
I found a poem. I write on my phone, I will admit it, and I've actually read off my poem in public before, so I got a poem. And this one is called Now Traveler. So this is a new one. Now traveler, I become and becoming. Thought like azure waves insistent, I become food for insects, company for thieves, love for strangers, once now unspoken, living in the depths of the ocean and the sea. Now traveler, onward I awaken within the silence that is time being, happiness, darkness, and light, children playing in the garden, an old man smoking his pipe. Complete the sentence. Be restless. I become and becoming you.
Thank you very much for that.
Is that a recent poem?
That's a recent poem. Yeah, it's a poem about getting older and looking back on life and seeing all the things you did and all the things you've done and all the things and possibilities that could be.
Can our listenership find that poem again?
Well, that one has not been put out to the public yet. It's not on my website yet. It may be in my next book that I'm working on, which doesn't have a title. It might be called Now Traveler. There's a possibility. But I do have a number of other books, and my website is out there at www.rmenglehart.com.
I do have one, if there's time to share.
Absolutely.
It's from my new book, We Are All Terminal, But This Exit Is Mine, coming out this Halloween. This one is called Last Appointment of the Day. Across the table where picture books and children's magazines wait for small hands, across the fading carpet where plastic cars and wooden jigsaw puzzles lie scattered for playmates who may never return, there is a fish tank, the saddest-looking pit of gloom ever, dark as a thunderhead in Tornado Alley, with listless fish waiting on death, floating nowhere in the murk. Elsewhere there's a scream in my mind, but there's no sound, a horror film on mute, internal and forever, and all these empty chairs surrounding me, over and over again, all those empty chairs. The receptionist calls out my name. I get up and go inside while music plays from overhead, and they shut the door behind me at last.
Thank you for that reading, James. And thank you to both of you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
James, what was the name of that poem?
Pardon?
What was the name of that last poem? Did it have
a
name?
Just,
it's from your...
Last Appointment of the Day is the name of the poem, and the book is We Are All Terminal, But This Exit Is Mine.
Coming out this Halloween. Thank you.
That was Rob Englehart and James H. Duncan from the Troy Poetry Mission. You can learn more about Rob's work at www.rmenglehart.com or thepoemremains.com. For more information about James's books and upcoming readings, visit www.jameshduncan.com. Finally, for information on the Troy Poetry Mission and its events, please go to schoolofnightalbanyny.wordpress.com.